December football, it's here. And the Jets are in a playoff spot for now. The road gets tough from here on out for Gangrene. Off to Minnesota goes Mike Effin White and company as the Jets look to make it 8-4 on the season against the first place Vikings. Can Saleh's squad win their second straight behind Mike White, or does he come back down to earth? We preview Jets-Vikings and make our predictions. We'll also be joined by a good friend of the program, former Jets offensive lineman, SMY pre- and post-game analyst, the great Willie Cologne. The Jets are off to Minnesota. We got you covered next on Gangs All Here from the New York Post. Welcome back to Gangs All Here. It's our New York Jets podcast from the New York Post. I am Jake Brown alongside my co-host, Brian Costello. Joining us later in the program will be friend of the program, former Jets offensive lineman, SMY Jets pre- and post-game analyst. You could catch him also on Mad Dog Sports Radio on Morning Men. That is the big fella out of Hofstra, Willie Cologne. We'll stop by later. The month of December is here, Kaz. As we drop this episode on December 1st of Gangs All Here, we said before the season started for the Jets, what did we say? Be in the graphic in the month of December. Well, that's the goal for the season, and they're not in the graphic, Kaz. They're in the playoffs for now. We're hoping for in the hunt. Instead, they're the seventh seed and holding on to the final playoff spot. At 7-4, this team's been fun to watch. They've been competitive. They're playing behind one of the best defenses. A quarterback change, and now they're led by Mike Effin White. And a new season begins this week in Minnesota. Six games to play, two tough ones against Minnesota and Buffalo, two more playoff teams in Miami and Seattle later on, Lions and Jaguars mixed in between. But, Kaz, all they got to do is 3-3. It's not a lot to ask to be in the hunt for a spot. We'll see how the tiebreakers play out. We'll talk about all that. But this team finally has a chance to end the longest playoff drought in the NFL. It's a dozen years of waiting. It's been long enough. It's time Saleh and the Jets start a new era of winning football. It's been long awaited, and it begins in Minnesota on Sunday.
I'm glad the stadium is indoors in Minnesota. Have you looked at the weather, Jake?
What's it, like 4 degrees there? I haven't checked the Minnesota weather because it's irrelevant for me not being there.
High of 18 on Saturday, Jake. I think this is a stay in the hotel weekend in Minneapolis.
It's not like you're usually out and about hitting the strip club on Saturday night anyway, Kyle.
Right? I usually go to a nice dinner. You go to a good dinner. And so
you wouldn't even go out for dinner? You're going to do room service this Saturday?
I don't know, 18 degrees. Room service really doesn't exist post-COVID, I've noticed. They haven't brought that back. Yeah, you can get like takeout from the restaurant, but there's like the old style room service coming to you on a tray. I have not seen that post-COVID anywhere. I'm sure some high scale hotels that I'm not allowed to stay at, they do that.
They don't put you in the Ritz-Carlton. They leave the lights on for you at the Red Roof Inn.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I haven't seen that. So yeah, so that's my initial thought, Jake. I'm grateful that this is indoors. Hopefully there's some indoor walkways in Minneapolis to get to the game. But yeah, here we are, Jake. December. It's funny. I looked back transcript from March when Joe Douglas said the December, you know, playing meaningful games in December quote. And it was my question, Jake. I created that. I said to him, I said, is a reasonable goal for this team, if you get the draft right, because it was in March, to be playing meaningful games in December? And he ran with it. So I was like, wow.
Pulitzer Prize winning journalism.
You're always trying to bait them into saying they're a playoff team. That never works. But this one, I got the December meaningful games. The old, I think Fred Wilpon said that many years ago about the Mets with meaningful games in September. So, here we go. I think, you know, four road games out of six. The two home games look like they should be wins, but you never know. The Lions are playing better. Jaguars have something going on right now. So it's going to be an interesting stretch of games here, Jake, for once. Like you said, it's been a while. It's been since 2015 where we've had this. Because if you look at – I looked at the record through 11 games from 16 on, and there's a lot of 3-8s and 4-7s and an 0-11 in there. Been a while since they've had a winning record going into December.
Yeah, and I'll push back to your comments the other day and some of the media comments about Mike White, because I think you can't overlook what he did in those conditions, considering Zach complained about wind the week before. It was a torrent. It was downpouring that whole day. And this is still the NFL. I know the Bears defense sucked, but these are NFL players. It's not like they went up against the XFL team, despite the roster not looking great. And when we look back at last year and say, you know what, he gave up the terrible game against the Bills. Look what he did after the Cincinnati game. That was a terrible Jets team, a Jets team that in the stretch that Mike played, 54, 31, 45, 45 points. Those were defenses that were not putting him in the game and giving him a chance to win. I think he doesn't need to do what he had to do in those games. And he's also got more talent. You know, he's got Garrett Wilson, a legit number one guy, and he's got a couple tight ends. He was throwing a Ryan Griffin last year. This year, he's got Tyler Conklin. He's got CJ Uzama. He's got another receiver in Denzel Mims, who's had some life finally this year. So I'm going to throw last year out the window, besides the great Bengals game, and say that Mike White deserves a lot of credit.
Yo, listen, that one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was
the ultimate cherry pick right there.
Yeah, well,
same listen. Defense played in that game, right? Same receivers played in that game.
Okay. And the defense gave up 31 that game. So the defense was just atrocious. So I think this is a new Mike White, a better team and a better defense. And I think we're going to see it Sunday. You know, a tough test in Minnesota.
Well, the Vikings stink on defense. Their defense
I get
stinks.
That, but we can't use that as an excuse. This is a 9-2 football team.
He should put up a lot of yards. He should put up 300 yards in this game. He should throw touchdowns in this game.
But I don't want that to be the excuse, Kaz. If he does on Sunday's postgame, be like, he did what he should. I think he deserves a lot more credit than you're giving him.
Okay. We'll see.
Now, if he beats Buffalo, I know you're going to give him credit because that's a tough one in Buffalo.
That's a good defense. Yeah, this defense stinks. This is all about the Jets defense and can they stop a good Vikings offense? And the Vikings are a weird team. Every one of their wins except one is by one score. Their point differential is +4 or +5 in comparison to the Jets' point differential is +34. So the Jets by point differential are a better team than the Vikings. Now, you know, Robert Saleh pointed out today, the Vikings have beaten every team in the AFC East except the Jets so far. They're going for the sweep in the AFC East. They played the Dolphins without Tua, which was a little different, but they did beat the Patriots on Thanksgiving and they beat the Bills in that epic game a few weeks ago. So they're an interesting team. This could come down to being a shootout, you know, if the Jets defense can't contain that Vikings offense.
And we'll make our predictions in a little bit. But remember, this is still a Vikings defense that has some guy named Patrick Peterson in a potential future Hall of Famer.
Isn't he, what is he, 48 years old at this point?
Listen, he could still play. He's older, but he could still play. And they have, you know, good run stoppers and Hunter. They got good linebackers, Za'Darius Smith, Jordan Hicks. Like, these aren't a bunch of bums, and it's a 9-2 team.
They're better than the Bears. They're better defense than the Bears. But they play, I mean, they play right into Mike White's hands. They play a cover two. They just don't want to get beat deep. They're going to give up a ton of underneath stuff. He can throw the running backs and the tight ends all day if he wants to. So that's what White does. The question with Mike White is, can he throw a deep ball? Right, we haven't seen him do it. Like when he's won games, it's been intermediate, short to intermediate throws. That's, you know, the Bills defense could test him there, but the Vikings defense is not going to. They're going to give up a lot of yards and then try to keep them out of the end zone. That's their game.
First throw of the game, play action, Garrett Wilson deep bomb. Let's do it. Let's just catch him off guard quick and early. And that's going to be the matchup, really. Peterson versus Wilson. It's going to be fun to see. And like you said, the Vikings, they haven't blown anyone out. All their games are close. And it shows their defense bad because the Jets held Mac Jones to nothing. Essentially, they gave up 382 yards and 2 touchdowns to Mac Jones in that Thanksgiving shootout.
You remember, you just pointed out it was windy that day, though, when Mac Jones played the Jets.
What's worse, you think? The downpour rain at MetLife or the wind in New England?
Wind is worse. Yeah, the wind's worse. Yeah, because I wasn't outside for the downpour. But I was talking to somebody who was there and said it didn't get back to like the fourth quarter. It got windy and that's when it got real ugly there. And if you notice it, I mean, the Jets didn't have to throw. They were up by a lot, but they didn't throw much late in that game.
It wasn't a sea of green at MetLife. It was a sea of ponchos. I've never seen so many people wear ponchos in my entire life. Not a big poncho guy, to be honest. I'd rather my clothes just get wet. I just think ponchos, it's like you're wearing a garbage. Like you're just a bum. Like I'm not team ponchos. I get why people do it. They don't want to ruin their clothes. I'll throw my clothes in the wash. Anyway, we'll talk laundry when the Jets are out of the playoff race. They're in it right now. And I'm excited for this game. All right, injury report before we preview this game, make our picks. Low ankle sprain, luckily for Michael Carter. Didn't practice Wednesday. What do you think, Kaz? My gut says that he's not going to play on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, it's early right now. But yeah, I would agree with you. I don't think he's going to play. I think it's unlikely. I think they'll give him a week, and then he'll probably be back next week.
Offensive line. Now, is Max Mitchell taking Big Cedric's spot this week?
Yeah, well, Cedric didn't practice either. He has a groin injury. So, yeah, it's going to be Max Mitchell, I think, at right tackle. And we'll see. George Fant, I think, could be activated for this game.
Wow.
But I don't think he'd start right away. They probably have him as the backup for both right and left tackle right now.
And another surprise, we thought he might miss some more time. It seems like Sheldon Rankins could be back this week.
Yeah, he's limited Wednesday, so we'll see. He had a big brace on his elbow. But yeah, it looks like he might be able to come back after missed the Patriots and the Bears. So yeah, he could be back.
The Jets-Bills game will stay at 1 o'clock. What was the deal with this? CBS like purchased the rights to keep the game and they flex Dolphins Chargers instead?
Networks can protect games, Jake. I don't know. I can't remember the numbers, but CBS protected it. So you get to pick a certain number of games you can protect and they can't be flexed. So that was one of them. I think the one to watch now is Jets Seahawks on New Year's Day. Obviously there's a long way to go, but if both teams stay in the thick of this, that game could be a primetime game for the Jets.
Gives you a little more time to recover from the impending hangover on New Year's, which is nicely done by the NFL there for Jets fans. Jets, Vikings, 1 o'clock. The Jets went from Spiro Dinas to games being protected by CBS. What a turn of events. Sunday, 1 p.m., U.S. Bank Stadium, Minnesota. My favorite duo, Ian Eagle, Charles Davis on the call. The Jets have come a long way from the C&D broadcast teams. They are on the A team at 1 o'clock. Vikings are 3-point favorites. Finally, the Jets essentially being called even against the 9-2 Vikings as the home team gets 3 points. Vegas is now putting respect on the name of the Jets and the name of Mike White. The over-under is 45 points. 9-2 Vikings, 7-4 Jets. Kaz, break the game down. Make your prediction.
I think it comes down to, Jake, like I said, I think it's going to be the Jets defense versus the Vikings offense. Can they slow them down? Can they slow Justin Jefferson down? Adam Thielen, Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook. This is a good offense. I think the Jets offense will be able to have success against the Vikings defense. I think they'll be able to move the ball. So to me, this could be a shootout, Jake, because the Jets defense has been great this year, and they really haven't had one letdown game yet. And I'm wondering if this is it. It sort of looked like it was going to be against the Bears first two drives, and then they snapped out of it. And they weren't, you know, the Patriots game was so weird. They gave up a lot of yards in that game, and they missed a lot of tackles. But then they would find a way on third down to, like, knock them, you know, out of the red zone. And Nick Folk missed two field goals in windy conditions, or that, you know, that might have been 9-3, and they wouldn't need the punt return. So the defense has kind of showed some signs, I think, lately, Jacob. There might be a dud coming, so I think this could be the one. I'm going to go with the Vikings. I don't have a score for you, though, Jake. I haven't thought about the score, but I think this could be like a high-scoring game, like in the 30s. I think somewhere in there. I won't middle it. I'll take the Vikings to cover. But I think both teams could score in the 30s.
So you're not buying the half point and taking the Jets plus 3.5.
No, I'll go Vikings cover.
Well, you know I am. The Jets going up against a terrible passing defense. Mike White's going to have a day. It's going to be the Bam White show. Sauce Gardner, 14 passes defended, most of the NFL. I think he's finally, someone's got to contain Justin Jefferson. I think the Jets defense has a good chance here against Justin Jefferson. He's been hot. Listen, he is just sizzling hot right now. He had a huge game, 9 for 139 against the Pats and a touchdown on Thanksgiving. I like DJ Reed going up against Thielen. The Jets, Kaz, have helped wide receivers to the third lowest rating in the NFL. And guess what? The Vikings, a good tight end team led by TJ Hockenson. The Jets, 0 touchdowns allowed to tight ends all year long. 4 interceptions when balls are going to tight ends. So they can contain the middle of the field. They got the two corners on the outside of the field. And they're going to attack Kirk Cousins. You know it's coming. And when they do, it's going to be pain for that offense. The Jets, 86 QB hits. That's second in the NFL. Dalvin Cook is not doing much lately. He's in a dry spell. Jets win this one in Minnesota. The Mike White show goes on. Jets 27, Vikings 24. And then the Jets are 2 wins away from the magical 10-win mark. I think this matchup favors them. And like you said, the Vikings, every game they're in is a close one. So I don't think this is going to be a blowout. It's going to come down to a big field goal. And there are no conditions to worry or complain about this week. It's in the dome. Jets win 27-24. Well, we'll look ahead to Jets-Vikings and talk about this O-line. We'll talk Mike White with our guest, and that's Willie Colon joining Gangs All Here next.
You know, these are the type of games that I love. I love going against the best. I'm looking forward to it, and I know our guys in the secondary, they're looking forward to it as well.
All righty, joining us now on Gangs All Here, Jake Brown here, is friend of the program, a former Jets offensive lineman, SMY Jets pre- and post-game analyst, and you could hear him on SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio on Morning Men. Hofstra alum Willie Colon is in the building. Willie, you're hitting 40. You just got out of the gym. You're sweating like a dog. How you feeling right now?
I feel great. I'm in the process of trying to be a better multitasker. So as I'm doing this, I'm texting the wife, telling her I'm talking to you while she's telling me, make sure you turn off the lights and take out the big piece of chicken. So it's an interesting day for me right now. Yeah.
Do you ever cook? Do you cook mostly? Your wife cook?
You know, I can cook. I've gotten better because my wife is there to kind of tell me how bad my cooking is. So after she tells me how bad my cooking is, she usually jumps behind and kind of, you know, walks me through what I should have did right instead of what I did wrong. So that's what wives are for. They're there to critique, destroy your life, and then love you at the same time.
Love that. I would not. You know, my healthy thing is I make a little salmon twice a week, but it gets expensive. Like, everyone's like eating home.
Food's expensive. Healthy food is really expensive.
Yeah. Well, one guy who's not expensive is Mike White. He's pretty cheap. Boom. That's why they pay me the big bucks. This dynamic of changing quarterbacks, you know, you kind of went through it a little bit with Geno Smith to Ryan Fitzpatrick, although it wasn't in the middle of the season. Take us through that time and this time for the Jets at quarterback.
Well, the Geno Fitzpatrick situation was unique because we also, during that process, had Michael Vick. It was a weird transition because Geno was going into his second or third year, and then the whole locker room situation happened, right? And then here comes Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Fitz, I think, if you would ask him, you know, he was there to just, you know, service a role. I don't think he necessarily thought himself as a starter. He knew, you know, he had been through that kind of merry-go-round before. So I think he's like, hey, when you need me, tap my shoulder. And we needed him a lot sooner than, you know, we expected. And when he got in, just like Mike White, his calming presence, his ability to know where to go with the football, pre-snap recognition, his overall fundamentals jumped off the screen. And when you have a quarterback who's calm, decisive, and deliberate, it sets a tone within the offense. And I think that's what Mike White has done, or that's what he has shown thus far. Even if you go back to last year when Zach got hurt, when he was able to jump in for that Bengals game, you can tell there was a poise about him. There's a sense of, like, I got this. You just, you know, everybody does their job and we'll get out of this safely. And he even showed it against the Bears. Now, the Bears are the Bears. They're not a very good team. Their defense is a little bit all over the place. They lost two guys to IR after the end of that game. But what Mike White was able to show you, that the offense works when you play within the offense, right? And so, and we saw that last year. Think about it. When Mike played, then it was Flacco, then it was Josh Johnson. All three quarterbacks lit it up when they got in there. You know, even Josh Torres, the game he played, he had like 300 and some yards within the offense. It scratches your head because if you see three quarterbacks play within the same offense, do what they're told, and play within a manner, it's like, all right, well, we just drafted a kid to be the future. Why can't he do that? And then to Zach's credit, when he did get back in, you know, he was great. You know, he was solid, especially against Tampa. And then, you know, obviously he goes into this game this year and he has a little bit of a setback because of the injury. And then when he comes back, he looks like he's starting to get his wits about him. He's starting to play better. I think right now, just to break it down, I think Mike is the right quarterback for right now. That doesn't mean Zach Wilson isn't the quarterback for the future. I think sometimes you have to sit back and digest, show some humility, see how things work, and go according to plan, and things will work out for you. But I think the way this team has evolved ahead of schedule, I think Mike White is the guy for the Jets right now. Now, does that mean is he not the quarterback for the future? I don't know. But I think it's ultimately Mike White's job to lose and win.
It is interesting because no one has looked at the fact of what if Mike White is the guy and Zach Wilson is not, because the draft stock 171st versus second pick. What if White is the guy and you got to send Zach Wilson packing? Now, I don't know if you'd even be able to trade him for a bag of peanuts right now. But that's not a situation that anyone talks about because everyone just writes off Mike White because of where he got picked and where he went to school.
Well, honestly, I mean, two scenarios here. It's not like the Jets haven't been here before, right? I mean, they sent a lot of number one, a lot of their first round quarterbacks packing, right? You're talking about from Geno to Sam Darnold and now Zach. So I think Jets fans are kind of, they've built a callus for this type of situation. However, you are right. Just because a guy comes out of the fifth round out of Western Kentucky doesn't mean that he can't get the job done. We've seen, I mean, Christ, look at where Romo came from, right? And Romo, had, you arguably can say, had a Hall of Fame career. Look at Kurt Warner. Look at right now Taylor Heineke out of Old Dominion. So it's not like a mid-level, small-time quarterback can't come out and do the job and do it at a high level. I believe Mike White just understands what to do with the football. I think he cares enough. I think he shows enough humility. I think he's fundamentally sound. And he has a piece within the offense. Now, Minnesota's a different juggernaut, right? They're a better defense, better team. They got some superstars on both sides of the ball. So it's going to be a big test to see if the Jets can handle that type of outfit come Sunday.
This is still a 9-2 team, in my estimation, that has some players on defense. They're not a bunch of, you know, nobodies on defense. It's a good football team. They're 9-2. Do you expect Mike to keep the train rolling? Kaz said the Vikings are going to win because he expects the Jets defense to finally have a letdown. What do you expect out of this game?
I mean, the Jets have been solid on the road this year. What's interesting about this team, they don't know what they don't know. They're just going out there and playing. And I said this yesterday when I was talking to Connor Rogers, who's been doing a great job with this on pre and post. I said the Jets are finally at a point, and this is more indicative to the Bears game, where because of the conditions, because of a bad team, their talent is pulling them through. Like normally you can say the Jets didn't have enough talent, or if they had a bad day, they was going to lose because they just couldn't get it done. They were playing okay on defense, but they had so much talent that the talent actually won that game for them, right? And that hasn't always been indicative to who the Jets were in the past. So I think right now this Jets team, I think they are riding a high horse. I think they believe in Mike White. I think they believe in each other. They're young. They have that swag to them. I really appreciate it right now. And so, yeah, I have the Jets. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets go in there and get the dub. I wouldn't be surprised by that. What I am cautious about is there's a lot of rookies right now who haven't gone this far into the season. And you got to worry about the rookie wall. And you're looking at guys like Sauce Gardner. You're looking at some guys who just really haven't gone the distance. So this time of year is where you have to start leaning on the quality of your depth, which we have and which we have seen. The fact that Max Mitchell was back at right tackle, huge. I love that kid to death because he's scrappy, he's gritty, he's raw in some areas, but he's going to give you 110% every time he's on the field. Nate Herbig, what he means to that right guard spot when he's healthy. Four running backs, you know, honestly, with Bam Knight and Ty and Michael Carter and James Robinson, that if things don't pan out, you can lean on the run game, which I think is the identity of this team, honestly. I know Mike White can sling it, but when we're running, when we're pounding the rock and letting our defense, you know, play bully ball, we're a damn good outfit. So hopefully we get back to that a little bit.
As an offensive lineman, speak to that a little bit, because when this team goes on their fourth to fifth offensive tackle, you know, now Big Cedric, we always say Big Cedric because we can't say his last Ogboehi.
Me and Bart, you should see me and Bart say it. We tear it up.
Ogboehi, is that French? Bonjour, monsieur. Cedric now hurt. Like, that's not an easy job for a guy like Max Mitchell to come in, for Cedric to come in, for all these guys to fill in, and Nate Herbig, who doesn't really anyone ever mentions. How hard is that in the middle of the season to develop this cohesiveness, and how well has this Jets offensive line done it?
Well, I think multiple things. I think one, you got to credit Dwayne Brown for being the big dog in the room, a guy who's played at a high level for multiple teams, who understands the league, understands what it means to play within in a playoff, and just having that veteran leadership to look to when your star player, Elijah Vera Tucker, goes down, when Mekhi Becton, who's supposed to be the staple within your franchise, goes down. Connor McGovern, who doesn't get enough credit, who's a little bit of a journeyman, has been playing stellar himself. So you have two key pieces. And like Lynn Thomason, who's played for a damn good 49ers team and balled out. So when you have those multitude of pieces, it's easy for young guys and even guys who haven't got a lot of quality to say, all right, I just need an example on how to do my job and how to perform like a professional. And they have those examples. I had those examples when I was in the league. I had guys like Alan Faneca to look at and watch how he, you know, was in the weight room, study, practice, prepare for games, played within games, how he recovered. Just having those examples in multiple facets helped me kind of prep myself on how to be the best I needed to be on the field. And so now guys like Max Mitchell, Nate Herbig, on and on, you know, these guys have examples to lean on and see. And so when you have that, it's easy to kind of just march, right? But when you and even the team, my time with the Jets, I thought certain units didn't have that example, and that's why things went awry. You know what I mean? And so you don't have that with this offensive line unit. There's multiple guys with that in that room who've played enough football and understand what it means to be a pro and be a pro at a high level.
Mentally, for an offensive line, Willie, and for the offense, when you make a quarterback change and see instant success, what does that do to your mentality? Because as an offensive lineman, those guys, you can't be playing 110% when your quarterback is throwing the ball all over the place to nobody in particular, incompletions, taking sacks. When Mike comes in there, bing, bang, boom, and is hitting all the guys, that has to play a factor mentally for these guys. And they not that they want to play harder. You're always going to play 100%. But mentally, there's got to be something different there for the offensive linemen, for these running backs, for these receivers, obviously with Elijah Moore, who we know how much he loves Mike White and anyone else besides Zach Wilson. That's the only time he produces. It's got to play a factor mentally.
Well, I think the thing about what Mike was able to do within the offense Sunday was he was able to be efficient. And when you're able to be efficient, you're able to set a rhythm. And when you're able to set a rhythm, that means guys don't have to think. They're just rolling off the ball, and they're playing fast, and they're not thinking, or they're not second-guessing, or they're not worried about every little other thing other than doing their job. And I think, you know, it's tough because we have to understand that Zach Wilson is only in his second year, right? And at the same time, I can tell you from firsthand experience, and I put my hand up at this, I didn't feel like a pro until my third or fourth year, where I feel like I really got it. You know what I mean? And I didn't have the ball in my hand. So I do have some empathy for guys in that situation, how much the world is on their shoulders and how to have to be perfect and how to, you know, just not perfect, but just do the right things, because every time the ball's in your hand, you got the city in your hand. You got the franchise in your hand, right? So there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. But I think from an offensive line standpoint, when you do have somebody to come in there, just happens to be on time with the football, has a calm about him, has a pace about him, and has a little bit of know-how on how to run the offense, it definitely takes the pressure off our shoulders from the standpoint where, like, all right, we just keep him upright, he's going to take care of the rest. We don't have to worry about the scrambling. We don't have to worry about, you know, if this ball gets tipped, it's coming back the other way. We don't worry about have to, you know, because a lot of times when a quarterback throws an interception, yeah, it's easy for the outside to say, well, he threw that ball there. That's why they got. But from an offensive line standpoint, we immediately check the protection. Running backs and all, like, why did that happen? Was he rushed? Was he pressured? Was it pocket collapse? Did a guy get his hands up? So we immediately check ourselves on why that interception happens. We don't necessarily blame the quarterback for that interception, because sometimes, you know, if a guy's sitting in the pocket and he's forced to throw the ball early and it's a misread, well, what caused that? So we immediately check him within ourselves. I think from the offensive line, especially this offensive line, I think they realize that when you have Mike White in the game and you're rolling the way they're rolling, that means the defense gets hungrier and better. And I think that's just complimentary football. And I think that's what we was able to see Sunday. When you all three phases, even go back to the Patriots game, I thought they, besides the offense not doing anything that day, they were playing complimentary football. Special teams just had one bad punt that ultimately ended the game for them. But ultimately, if you go back to that tape, defense played lights out. We gave up some sacks up front. I thought we got a little murky in the middle at times. But nevertheless, even on the edges, I thought we were scrappy. We were banging. We were just having one of them days, and Zach couldn't get it going. But I think the offensive line know who's the guy right now, and it's just a matter of just continuing to play out a high level.
You hear, you're a teammate of Zach. You hear what he said after the game, not taking accountability. What's your reaction in the locker room as a teammate?
You know, a lot was made of that. I'm not necessarily sure I would have took it personal. That's just me, and maybe I should. I don't know, but I just know necessarily that wouldn't have bothered me. What bothered me was the fact that he wasn't pulled during that game, and I stated that on pre and post, because I feel like the Jets were playing like the damn 85 Bears that game in New England. As athletes, the field is our office. Everybody has an office, and some days you're going to have a bad day at the office. I felt like Sunday was a bad day at the office for Zach Wilson. I also feel like as Robert Saleh sat there for four quarters, watch this man struggle, watch this offensive unit, you know, remain stagnant. How not some part of you goes, I need a change, right? Because I can remember I've had a game like that. When we was in San Diego and Mike Vick was on the team and Geno started that game, We started, came out in the second half with Mike Vick. And Vick didn't, mind you, didn't get in, he didn't prepare that well. They didn't give him a lot of reps that week, right? It was all going to be Geno. Halftime, Rex runs in the locker room, goes, hey, I can't take it no more. You know, Vick, suit up. We just need something. We need a spark. And we didn't, and in the second half, I remember our eyes lit like, oh, finally we get Vick, right? And then now it's on. We're about to run again. That didn't happen. San Diego continued to kick our ass for the rest of the quarter, for the remaining two quarters. But I say that to say that athletes are going to have bad days at the office. If your ace is allowed to get, pulled by the skip and a relief comes in, why can't it happen in football? You know what I mean? Does it mean a guy can't come back the next week? We have this mindset that if you pull a quarterback, that means you're sitting him for the rest of the year. No, you just had a bad game, kid. We watch Belichick pull guys all the time, and they're back in the lineup. So I don't feel like if you pull a guy, that doesn't mean you can't go back to him right away. It just means like, hey, you got to win this game. They had an opportunity to win that game, which would let them first place in the division. It was just a big game. And I felt like Salah let that go instead of responding in a moment.
I think, yeah, and I think it's two different coaches too, Willie. I think Salah is very much a player's coach. I don't know if he has the mentality even to do that to a guy, and maybe he worries that he doesn't come back from that. So I think that just depends sometimes on the coach. We see it with Daboll screaming his head off at a guy if they do something wrong. I don't see that as much in games from Salah. You agree with that?
Well, I do agree he's a player's coach. You can tell that he individually cares about every man in a helmet. I do think he has somewhat of a relationship with different guys in that locker room. You can kind of see it. You can hear it by when he speaks about certain guys. But I have to go back to the great Herm Edwards. You play to win the game. And sometimes you got to separate those type of emotions and those type of feelings, because at the end of the day, it's not about that one individual. It's about the game and winning that game for that week. I can understand his sensitivity to Zach, because Zach's a gunslinger, right? And if you take the confidence out of gunslinger, you're going to have the result what happened in New England, right? He was afraid to throw the ball downfield. He started blaming the weather conditions. Mind you, Mac Jones almost threw for 300 yards that game. You know what I mean? So it's like you don't want to remove the kind of the wild cowboy out the kid if you feel like that's going to happen if you bench him. So you kind of want to stay in the trenches with him. But at the same time, you have to understand it's not about Zach. It's about the team. And I think that's why Mike White starting was so significant, because now he told the locker room, like, all right, it's about us, right? Like, it's about us. It's about us moving forward. We're 7-4. We got a legit shot going to the playoffs. Let's go for this thing. And, you know, I think Zach, you know, this is the bottom line. One thing about the NFL and during, like, you know, you're going to go through hard times. It either makes you or break you. You know, him sitting on the bench is either going to make him stronger or it's going to break him. And every athlete goes through moments like that, whether it's dealing with injuries, whether it's dealing with getting benched, whether it's dealing with personal issues off the field. You're always going to have that fork in the road. Some come earlier than others. Some come later, but they do come. And I think this is Zach's moment.
And if it breaks him, Jimmy Garoppolo is in the wings as the swooning all the people of New York City. His face on every billboard in town, Willie. You know, he's the talk. You don't seem to be on the Jimmy G.
No. I'm a Jimmy G fan. He has the GQ look. He's a sexy individual. He's a stud. He wins no matter what you say about him. He's a winner. And this is his offense, right? This is the offense of which he thrives in. So it just seems like 1-2-3 ABC, but it sucks for Mike White. It sucks because if he continues the ball and he carries this Jets team into the playoffs, why do we now continue to overlook Mike White? It's still a question. Like, I get Jimmy G. He's the Lamborghini that comes rolling in. Love it. But if Mike White is the, you know, the Audi or the Porsche, you know, who may be used, but it's still a Porsche, let's ride with it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not, you know, let's try to fix something that's not broken. If Mike White seems like he's the fit or he's a sexy thing for New York right now, right? Let's ride out with him. I don't understand what's the need. And that doesn't mean he can't. And Mike White's young, by the way. He's not an old quarterback. He's not a guy who in his eighth year, you know, he's still young.
From a quarterback out of BYU getting Cougars to a little bit more of a veteran getting Cougars. Every Jets quarterback except Mike White's getting the Cougars. Mike White's getting the nice 25-year-old like Jewish girl who went to Yale, I think.
Listen, I don't care what he gets. Just win. You know what I mean? Like, I have so much empathy for Jets fans because they've been through it. You know, they've been through the uglies and the dark times, and now they can, you know, I'm watching my man right here with his hat backwards. That's Jets fans, right? Now they turning their hats to the front. Now they want you to see the Jet logo, right? They didn't want you to see that they're Jets fans. I just came back from Florida not too long ago, and I saw more Jets hats in the airport than I've seen in a long time. So, I mean, the fan base is starting to come back around. The old timers are starting to, like, you know, Bernie Nagel. You know, they're starting to they're starting to come out the grave, man. That's a good thing.
Yeah, no, I'm in the streets of Astoria. I see Jets shirts like, yeah, let's go. Clap on Sundays. It's a feeling. And listen, the Mets, Jets, Knicks fan who went to Hofstra, got rid of a football team. It's been all downhill my entire life for me. So I'm looking to go on an upward swing here. You know, it's not going to be easy here, Willie, and I'm worried Sunday. You know, the tiebreakers are what worries me. You got Bills, Pats, Titans, Eagles, Broncos, Ravens, Dolphins, Niners, Chiefs, Bengals, Chargers, Raiders. Those are the games of importance Sunday. 10 wins might not do it, which is what scares me. You might have to win 11 if these other teams get to 10-7. So that's what I'm a little bit worried about if the Jets miss the playoffs.
Can't you listen? Those are all hypotheticals. It has nothing to do with the reality. The Jets are 7-4. They got to take it. I mean, they got six games remaining. Just win. And wherever the dice, wherever it rolls, because right now, if you're Joe Douglas, if you're the powers that be in that building, you're ahead of schedule, which you couldn't say year from years past, right? If any, you know, to feel like we have a legit shot to go to the playoffs, to feel like, man, we finally have a defense, we finally have a secondary, you know, to feel like we finally have an offensive line, it's good for Jets fans to tap back into the 08-09 season and feel like this may be the emergence of that. If they don't make the playoffs, which I don't even want to talk that into existence because I feel like they got a legit shot to get in, you have a lot to hang your hat on, man. And it's just a matter of getting more pieces, acquiring more sexy pieces, kind of lift this team up and carry this team over the threshold. Because right now, you know, this team is – they're exciting. They're young. They're enthusiastic. You don't hear the circus coming out of the locker room, right? You don't hear the rumblings of this guy and that guy and all that. You don't hear that no more. That's in the past. So I like where this team is at, man. I like the way Robert Saleh has his team running and gunning. And it's just about being positive and moving forward, man. There's no reason to continue to think about the what ifs. Just keep appreciating that they're winning. You can wear your Jets hat with pride around the city or wherever you're going. And now people are talking about the Jets in a different light. And that's a cool thing.
I'll close with this. Is it crazy if Mike White is a guy that this team can go on a run to a Super Bowl, or is that crazy talk? Because I think they have the talent. If he plays mistake free, people are thinking about it. Like, can they go to a Super Bowl?
I haven't talked Super Bowl in New York so long. You almost tied my tongue up with that one. You know, I don't know. I think right now we've seen teams get in and get hot. This can happen. I think the fact that the team is inexperienced helps them because there's no pressure of what we did. There's no resume in that regard. They're just going out there and slinging it and swinging for the fences, which helps, especially playoff time, because you see a lot of teams try to like reestablish themselves or they try to do things within the playoffs that's kind of out of character. They don't have no character because they've never been there, right? So I think right now at this point, when if you get in, go for it. Leave nothing. You know, just keep swinging, bang the body, the head will fall. Whoever comes in your way, just knock them out. And that's just the way to just have to play football.
I like that. It's the Geno Smith, just knock him out in the face approach. I like that one. Well, let's hope the Jets do make it. It is great to wear a Jets hat again and be proud of this team. Would love to see them go on a run. Willie Colon, catch him on the SNY Jets pre and post game. Catch him on SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, co-hosting Morning Men and in the streets with Babchick singing songs for a penny. He didn't even think he got a dollar.
He got a quarter, right? He was horrible.
You should ask for a dollar. It shouldn't have been a quarter.
The goal was the dollar. And then some dude was like, all I got is a quarter and left it and walked away.
Yeah, with how bad his voice, I think that everyone was better off for that.
He deserved a quarter. He sucked.
Will Colon 66 on Twitter. Willie, let's go Jets, baby. Thanks for coming
up. Let's go Jets, baby. Just keep fighting.
I'll put our guys up against anybody. Those guys are freaking good now, and it's going to be a great challenge. But like I said, I think it's a challenge that our guys are excited for.
All righty. Thanks to fellow Hofstra alum Willie Colon for joining us as that closes up shop on episode 126 of Gangs All Here, our Jets podcast from the New York Post. Thanks to Andrew Hartz and the intern Josh Crawford for helping me produce the show. Follow us on Twitter at Brian Kaz and tweet me at Jake Brown Radio. Hit the voicemail line at 646-974-4942. And make sure you subscribe to catch up on all old episodes you may have missed. Search for Gangs All Here on Apple Podcasts. If you're an iPhone user, on Spotify, on Stitcher, if you're an Android person, Google, Amazon, wherever you get podcasts. But also subscribe to New York Post Sports YouTube page and watch full episodes and clips of the show. For Brian Costello, for Willie Colon, I am Jake Brown. We are back on Monday. First thing, you'll wake up Monday morning, 5 a.m. A new episode will be ready in your feed as we react to the Jets' tough game in Minnesota against the Vikings. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Gangs All Here. Enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you Monday.
Jets, baby. Just keep fighting.